Hello, gamers. Welcome to another episode of The Odd Couple Meeples, episode 6. We're here to talk about Meepicon. So you want to start us off, hon?
I suppose we could start off with the hotel. We ended up going to the Hilton because that's where it is every year. And I actually kind of really like that they do it here. They're always accommodating and we never seem to have a problem. And their sign-in for Warhorn is actually really easy. So we can say that that's a kudos to them. How did you feel about that?
The hotel?
And the sign-in.
The sign-in, I have a little difficulty because I have to do all the sign-in online. But I only do it once or twice a year, so it takes a second to familiar yourself with the program and update our accounts and stuff like that when we have to.
Alright, so I guess we'll go on to the first game, which the first game that we played on Saturday was Affliction. I like this game. It basically has a whole Salem witch theme to it. I like the theme, and the characters are actual characters in history, so that gives it a cool little play on it. And I like the art. It is actually all done fairly well, considering it feels like it fits the time period that this game was supposed to play with. But the only thing that I really thought about this game needing was a smaller play area. The table we had just... it wasn't a very big table, but it just kind of made it really hard to keep track of everybody's characters. So that would be my one problem with this one.
Yeah, we had to stand up and look at the other players' boards and stuff like that. This is a worker placement. You get two witches and you place it. You're arresting people. You're trying to do your witch's circle. You're trying to accuse people. You're trying to do a lot of different things. We're going to actually talk more about this game later. Probably next week, we're going to probably do a review on it.
Which is why I didn't want to say too much yet.
Yeah. All right, the next one is Crank, a deck-building adventure game. Well, this game I actually really did enjoy. I like deck builders, and working with a board kind of remind me of Trains from AEG. But this one, you actually go down in a dungeon trying to get gold, you're defeating monsters, and you're customizing your deck. I really did enjoy that type of deck building game. It's really good. What did you think of it?
I thought it was cute. I do like the fact that it not only adds to deck building, but you do have your dungeon on the board that you get to travel through. The only problem I had was you can get bogged down if you don't get the right cards. Like, I got stuck with a lot of non-movement cards, so I really didn't get to go down into the dungeons all that much.
Yeah, but you could always buy those. That's how deck builders are. Sometimes you get good draws, sometimes you don't. The thing I didn't like was James actually taught us the easier side. I wish he taught us the harder side. Everybody got to make it out. There's a game mechanic where some people do not make it out. Everybody got to make it out. I got out first, and they had about 3 more turns of scoring points than I did. And I don't know how I felt about that. It did change the game, you know. It's like a push your luck almost. You're trying to stay in as long as you can to try to get as maximized points so you don't die in the dungeon. I found it really fascinating. It was definitely a really good game.
I like the fact that you're trying not to wake up the dragon.
Yeah, that was cute too, the dragon. They also had cute little kittens in the...
There was one kitten, but he was absolutely adorable. And he does travel apparently to the space theme.
Yeah, he does actually. I've been looking at the Crank, the... deck builder in space. It actually looks more interesting. They have a lot of cute little puppies, robot puppies and stuff. So what's our next one?
So next we went on to play War of the Roses.
Yes, we were supposed to play Crown of the Roses, but our teacher didn't. He played it once. He played War of the Roses a few times. So he said the crown might take a little longer, maybe about 5 hours. So we decided to comp out to War of the Roses, a hidden bluffing game. What did you think of it?
Not really my theme, I gotta say. I mean, I did play it. I came technically out of 4 of us. If we were counting individual scores, I came in 2nd. But I'm not really into that whole war theme. But I will give it the fact that it was very easy to pick up.
Yes. It really had a nice helpful sheet. I enjoyed the game. The opponents were really good. We picked up the game the first round. Very easy game to pick up. I always liked the Fog of War type game. I wish me and Heather, we were on the same team. I wish we actually talked more or did some more communication. I think that was our downfall. But the other players were really, they were really working together a lot better. What's next? Role playing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was role-playing with the called Transatlantic Terror. It was a Cthulhu theme. I thought it had a good storyline. It was a little tough to figure your way out. It was like pulling teeth, basically, trying to, you know, find something that made you want to actually keep looking as a character.
It was really loud on Saturday, too. She was talking about the game, and we were pretty much far away from her, and we couldn't hear, so we had to move closer. That actually ended up kind of, like, messing us up a little bit, too. But I had a really good time. Jasmine was the one who was teaching us. She was the GM. So we had a really good time. Not everybody showed up. There were supposed to be 7 people. We only got 4, and we were done in about 2 hours.
Yeah, we also actually didn't get to play the full game because Nick actually sunk the ship.
I decided to act like a drunk billionaire, just having fun, trying to pick up ladies, drinking, smashing things up, always going to get the captain, blame the crew. At the end, I accidentally sunk the ship and destroyed most of the ship as well. But anyways, after that, we were supposed to play Secret Hitler. It was at midnight. We were basically in the hotel room by 10 o'clock, and we were pretty much tired, and we decided to skip Secret Hitler.
We did play another game, though, very briefly before we went to the hotel room, and that was called, I believe, Kiwitin. It was basically a leaf spirit game. There is a lot of things I could say about this game because it was 2 completely different angles of viewing it. It had great art, but the gameplay was a little boring and very uneven.
Yeah, it was very weird. I actually did win this game by random luck. It was a really random luck. It had beautiful art, beautiful minis. It had a beautiful everything. And that gameplay, wow, terrible. It was meant for 6-year-olds. That had to be, or 7. It was 7. It rated for 7. 7 or 6-year-old children. So it is a children's game. So it does have that nice random out. It's like a nice easy game. Very easy to pick up. But it wasn't what we were expecting. We were expecting maybe something a little bit more in depth. But we didn't get that.
They also apparently made a mat that I was very not happy with. Because they did all these beautiful pictures on the board. And the figures were just so detailed and adorable. And then the guy who was demoing it pulled out this mat, and it was just a plain blue mat. It was like you fell completely short on that mat. You could have done so much that it was just kind of sad.
Yeah, they really dropped the ball on that. It was very sad. You want to talk about Power Grid?
Yes, our wonderful Sunday morning Power Grid. Every MepaCon we go to, we have Sunday morning Power Grid.
Yeah, definitely. We have like a group that always do it. We always jump in real early. This time we're playing Quebec, a map I never played. So it was very good. I made a couple errors. I haven't played the game in so long. It had to be at least 6 to 8 months since last time I played Power Grid. And I made some rookie mistakes. I made about 3 errors that I saw, and I was like, wow, these 3 errors really early in the game cost me greatly.
I did fairly well. I started out really well. I was almost the winner and then got robbed. And then after that, I went from first place to last place, and the game ended. It was actually 4th, not last, but still felt like last because I was right there.
Yeah.
But that's the usual Power Grid. I guess I'm just happy that I didn't place my usual last place.
Yeah, I don't think you did come ever last. I thought you always came in, like, 2nd from last.
No, last time I came in dead last.
No, I came in 5th. I basically got crushed. James, who taught us the game, he actually had cool poker chips. I actually liked the poker chips over the paper money. It was pretty nice, but then we had to switch out for paper money because he didn't have enough chips.
I preferred the paper money. It was easier to keep track of. I could actually see that 100 was 100, whereas I had to look at the writing on the poker chips.
All right, Good Cop, Bad Cop series. This is a little silly little game, kind of like a werewolf game. It's really a party game. I actually really enjoyed this. I didn't enjoy the expansions that were added, but I did enjoy the base game.
Damn, the opposite. I thought it got better with the expansions, and I kind of was a little bored during the regular base game. It was just, I felt there's better games out for a group atmosphere than Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, we did play for about an hour and 45 minutes or so. We showed up a little late, too. It's pretty funny because we were so in-depth with Power Grid. That was actually the longest Power Grid we ran. Normally, we get done like in about an hour and 40 minutes. That time, it took us a lot longer. We got into that game. It was all right. I actually enjoyed it. Good teacher. Not really had too many real issues with the game.
I thought it was a little slow starting. It's one of the reasons why I think there are other games out there. I mean, in the beginning, for the most part, all you're doing for like the first 3, 4, 5 turns is peeking at other people's cards. It was just boring to, oh, I'm going to take one card of yours, look at it. Okay, that's the end of my turn. Let's advance this piece on. There's just other games out there where you're doing something the whole time.
Everybody was doing that. I was grabbing the little gun and pointing at somebody.
Yeah, it got a little annoying.
And demanded them to tell me the truth or I would shoot them. But anyways, the last game we played was The Godfather.
The Godfather was also not one of my types of game, but I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. It was very easy to pick up. And it was basically a worker placement area control type game.
Yeah, I actually quite enjoyed this game. It was a very big surprise. Something named The Godfather, you're going to think a little silly. It had a little silly, but it actually had some good strategy into the game. Area control, getting meeples, taking people off. It had all that. It was definitely a good, interesting game.
Yeah, I'm not the type of person who does the ruthless, you know, backstabbing well. So for me, I believe I came in almost last. I think there was one other person that did worse than I did, surprisingly. But yeah, for me, it was an okay game. Surprisingly easy to pick up, but an okay game.
Yeah, I came in first. It had this weird mechanic where it's about victory points. You actually have a suitcase and you stick your money into it. And that money that's in the suitcase is your victory points at the end of the game. I found it quite interesting. There is some backstabbing and a lot of area control. I didn't get much area control as much as other people until the very end. Picked up a couple extra workers than everybody else and just kept running with it. All right. So, do you want to start with our first review?
Might as well get started. Hammer of the Scots. So, this is a game by Columbia Games. It is a two-player game, ages 12+. It takes about 2 to 3 hours to play. Basically, the back says that it is Hammer of Scots is an award-winning strategy game that will give you insight into the Scottish Wars of Independence from 1297 to 1314 and many hours of great gaming. With this game, it's basically, for me, a cube pusher. Basically, you're doing a war with your cubes that one half is the Scots and the other half is the British. I'm not very into war games, as I've already said, so for me, this is more of a Nick game. I do like the fact that, you know, if you are a history buff, you are basically following the timeline. You can do the Braveheart timeline, or there's the Bruce timeline. You can either, you know, try to follow the timeline to exact history, or you can try to make up your own. I do believe William Wallace is a little more powered, they're a little better powered than the British side. But yeah, basically for me, this is a war game. I like the map though. The map is well detailed, but like even the block pieces are just kind of boring to me. It's just either the shield or William Wallace piece actually has a head. It's just not my thing though.
All right. I'll talk about the gameplay. It's a Fog of War game. It's a block pusher, not a cube pusher, but same exact thing. They're both things. You play cards for movement points. You play events. You use dice for combat. It has a lot of strategy. It's a very good block game. It's probably one of my favorite block games that we actually own. Component quality. The blocks are good. The cards are nice, but I had to sleeve mine because they were really thin. I didn't really like the card stock in them. And the map is so well detailed. It's a beautiful map. My problem with the map is it is a paper map. It's not a mounted map. Not a big fan of paper maps. I almost wanted to get it laminated and hang it on my wall and take it down when I wanted to play. It's the idea. I do enjoy the gameplay. Love the gameplay. It does play well with two players. It is only a two-player game. It runs about 2 hours, 2.5 hours gameplay-wise. I actually really do enjoy this. The problem is the component quality is, like I said, the paper map, it kills me. The rule book, not as well detailed as I like, but there's plenty of information out there to actually some more details and FAQs. That's about it. I do like this game quite a bit. It is my favorite block game, and I own a couple of them. This one's my favorite. I like the Fog of War aspect. The gameplay is great. If you can get it for a cheap price, I'd say get it. 100%. What do you would like to talk about next, hon?
Well, we can do a second game.
All right.
We did have fun with our other game that we are going to review called St. Petersburg. This is by Bernd Bernerhoff and Karl-Heinz Schmiel. It's by Z-Man Games for Grain Company, and it plays 2 to 5 players, ages 13 plus, for 60 minutes. And the back reads that in 1703, Tsar Peter the Great founded St. Petersburg in Russia, which quickly earned the nickname Paris of the East. The Winter Palace, the Hermitage, the Church of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ, and many other buildings still amaze visitors from around the world today. But St. Petersburg was only a part of the Tsar Peter's many accomplishments. He reformed Russia and led it out of the Middle Ages and into the modern age. If you want to get somewhere in St. Petersburg, you need to start with workers. Their efforts bring in money, which you can use to construct buildings, but all of that means nothing if you can't influence the nobles to help manage and operate government. So you might sometimes have to change a top dog for a lowly functionary, or tear down a market to build a palace. In these ways, the new city grows, round after round, as long as the money flows. Purchase the cards that will increase your fortune and allow you to score the most points. That is the goal of St. Petersburg. They say St. Petersburg is a tactical game for Russian building magnates. We love this game. We've actually played it quite a bit. It does have, like, the card buying, and it's done in phases. I think they even brought out an expansion, but I haven't played that, so I don't know how that one is. But it works well with any number of players. So 2 players, 3 players, 4 players. It works well no matter how many you get in there.
We have 2 versions of it. We have the old version and we have the new version. The old version only plays 2 to 4. The old version we played quite a bit. The new version includes almost like all the expansions. Plus it includes a market. I basically cut everything out. All those purple cards. All the other expansion stuff that I really dislike. And I just include the market. The market adds a lot of play. The newer one adds more cards, makes the game quite a bit longer. They also added new art to it that actually some of the famous game designers are in it, like Stefan Feld and a few other amazing people that are in the game board community. St. Petersburg, the older version, I'll go with the older version first, I think plays great with 2 players. It works so well with 2 players because of the card shortness, and the game plays very quickly with 2 players. Now, back to the newer one. The newer one adds a lot more cards. You're going to add probably about 2 to 3 or even almost 4 extra turns in the game. So you got to always calculate when the game is going to end. With the newer one, it's going to last a lot longer. The market adds a beautiful strategy into it, adds new things. You got to play the market. It's very good. I played it with 3 players and I played it with 4 players. I prefer the market with a lot more players because it adds that cool game mechanic. I actually think it would probably work really well with 5 players. That's why they bumped up the cards a lot in the newer version, because they have to actually include the 5th player. So overall, I do enjoy this game. I have played the old version probably at least over 300 times.
Yeah, I actually prefer the older version looks-wise. To me, the art, both copies have great art, but in the older version, it just feels more cartoony, more part of the era. I just like that art better. versus the newer one where it's more regular pictures. Like he said, they actually take board game designers and fit them into the different characters that you're building in the one phase. Like I said, I haven't played the market, but I've always enjoyed, even if this game and the newer version takes a little longer, I don't even tell, I'll be honest. So, I mean, either way.
Somebody actually came out with the Simpsons version of this game. They actually did a fan favorite. They actually included the whole entire Simpsons world as all the cards. And it was really cool. It was actually downloadable that you can actually do. You can actually download it and actually print it all out.
Really? I don't remember you ever showing me that.
You never asked. But anyways, this game, I'd say it's a must-buy. It's definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a must-buy. Does it play well with two players, the newer version? That's always the question. Does it play well with two players? I find it, no. I like it with more players. I actually prefer it with five players. You can play both sides. You can play with the market or without the market. So, with the market, I would say play it with five players, four players. Probably five would be the right number. The other side, it does add more length to the game. And it had some kind of cheesy combos. It does include Debtor's Prison. With a combo, it's kind of a little cheesy. I have done it. So, I like the older version better for two players. What do you think?
Well, I'm used to playing the older version. So, that's usually the one that I discuss when we discuss this game is the old version. So, I'll give you that. Two players works great. I didn't realize that the old version only went to four. But then again, I've never actually read too much into the box once we were playing the older version. So, but yeah, I mean, I like the old version. I think that plays great with two people. He and I play it all the time. It does have that mechanic where you go through your different phases and you're buying things, and it's, at times you do have to turn over and switch to a different strategy because it's just not quite working. So it does make you think along the whole way. So it does keep you involved. And trying to, you know, keep ahead of your partner. But my main thing is it is a bit luck-based because you're relying on the flip of a card.
That's only if you're playing against top-level players. I have played quite a bit of players that are really good, like top of their game. And actually, at that point, it's going to come down to what pops out. Really comes down to the flips.
Yeah, so if you're waiting for that mistress and that's the one card you need and you don't get it flipped out on your turn, it's like, damn, you're screwed.
Yeah, there's also the first turn mistress. I have beat that strategy. I also lost with that strategy with the first turn mistress. Don't ask me how. I just, it is a good game. It does revolve around. For four players, there is some luck based, but if you're playing all good players, it's a really great time. I mean, this game is definitely good. St. Petersburg by Z-Man Games. Older version, I actually enjoy more. But if you have the older version, I think the older version is going for an outrageous amount of money. You can pick up the newer version for, I believe I picked it up for $50 at a con. And that was a must-buy. I love St. Petersburg. One of my original favorite games of all time. So if you can get your hands on it, get your hands on it. Play it. It's great.
Yeah, and that's one of the games that we can actually agree on to pull out and play. So, obviously, if we can agree on it, doesn't happen often, by the way.
So, anything else, hon?
No, I think that sums up all of our stuff for today.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Happy gaming.
Bye.